May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. 136.
Thank you. This evening I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the book of Exodus and chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, and we will just read the first 13 verses. Exodus 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand will he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear, to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now let us turn to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 34, the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea. and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, God of heaven and of earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of Moses and of Joshua, thou who art the same yesterday and today and forever, we seek that as we come before thy throne, we might come believing that thou art, and that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Lord, we have read of thy word unto Moses. We have read of thy fulfilled word and thy work. And Lord, we still need thee to appear for us in our day and in our generation. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast come unto this world, that thou hast been slain as a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, but in the fullness of time did lay down thy life for thy sheep. Now, Lord, we thank thee for the empty tomb and the assurance given unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. But, Lord, we are reminded from thy word that it is the same almighty power that raised thee from the dead that must raise up a poor sinner from being dead in trespasses and sins, and be made alive unto God. And so, Lord, we do seek that same almighty power to be wrought forth in the hearts of sinners. Lord, as we gather here this evening, we particularly bring before thee the people here, the flock of God here, that thou hast blessed their souls, that thou hast quickened into life those that are dead, and that thou hast been pleased to strengthen that which thou hast wrought in the hearts of thy people. Lord, we gather around thy word this evening, and may it be that unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We come with that expectation that thou hast owned and blessed thy word and accompany it with divine power into the hearts of each here. Lord, may it not only be heard, but may it be hearkened to. And if there is any poor soul here so distressed and so full of anguish and so full of bondage that they cannot receive and cannot embrace anything of thy word to themselves, that thou be pleased according to thy grace and mercy still to fulfill thy precious word, may there come that time that they do look back and see that thou art the faithful, the true, the ever-living God, and thou hast done exceeding far above all that we could ask or think. And so, Lord, we do seek that as we gather as sinners, that thou hast washed and cleansed us from our sin, grant real repentance and godly sorrow, set loose thy people from the bondage of sin, from the slavish works unto Satan. Lord, may thou grant that we might be formed a people for thee and for thy service and for eternal glory. O Lord, we do seek those things which are real things. Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast said that thou hast chosen thy people in the furnace of affliction. And O Lord, we do pray that thou hast blessed and sanctify afflictions amongst the flock here. We pray that thou hast be with each afflicted one, but do remember this evening, Pete Baker, do grant thy kind healing hand and strengthening for him. And Lord, that thou hast remember each of the family and those also that know affliction. And we think also of thy dear servants and those that are laid aside. Remember John Broome, we do pray that thou hast kindly strengthened him. We thank thee that he's been able again to preach locally, and we see that thou hast strengthened him further, and that if it is thy will that come the October time, that he might be enabled to stand here, and that the friends able to remember and to give thanks unto thee. O Lord, truly thou dost delight when there is the return of thanksgiving offerings. And so, Lord, we do come and give thee thanks for the newborn babe. Lord, we do seek thy blessing upon him, that he might be blessed with thy saving grace, and that he might prove to be one of thy children. We seek thy blessing upon the parents, and this might be sanctified to them and made a blessing to them eternally as well as temporally. We thank thee for their health and preservation of babe and of mother, and pray that thou hast go on and grant that blessing of health and of growth, not just naturally, but in due time, in the things of God too. And O Lord, do be pleased to remember each one that passes through fiery trials, each one that may have gathered and there is upon their hearts those burdens and cares and concerns, and we know that for each afflicted one, there is the loved ones, there is the family, there is the extended family. We pray that these things might work together for good for each soul. May it change how one listens this evening. May, Lord, thou be pleased to suit thy word to each case. And Lord, we seek that there might be those that thou dost begin a work in and those that thou dost carry it on. Lord, we pray for those about us in this town. We pray that there might be that quickening and those brought in as strangers and then brought to be dear beloved brethren. O Lord, do bless the children, the young people. We pray that thou hast be with them and quicken them and be with them in life's pathway. The succeeding generation, may there be those that fear thy name and bring up their children in the nurture an admonition of the Lord. O shine on our churches, lest they die. Bless us, Lord, with godly increase. Lord, we pray that thou hast bless our dear brethren here. Help our brother at the desk and the deacons, each one, do bless them in their souls. Be with them in their exercises and in their office. And may they be upheld by the church, the congregation. We pray that if it could please thee, that thou wouldst appoint over them a pastor and one to go in and out amongst them, and that they might have a love to him and he to them, and that, Lord, that they might see the answer unto their petitions and their desires. O Lord, truly thou hast said, and we do plead thy promise that I will give you pastors after mine own heart. And Lord, do remember that promise as regards to the people here. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst go before them in all that is laid before thee. For Lord, we do thank thee that thou dost not let fall to the ground the petitions of thy people. Lord, thou dost not forget what has been vowed and what has been promised and what has been in their pathway. We thank thee that we have it recorded that thou didst remind Jacob and tell him to return unto his kindred and to his people and to Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou didst vow 20 years before. Lord, are there those here? Thou hast wrought for them, and thou hast caused them to make those vows and promises perhaps 20 years ago. Now is the time to be a remembrance of it, a remembrance of thy goodness and thy mercy, a remembrance of answers to prayer, and that thou hast been to them more than all of their fears. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy covenant, and we do thank thee for the precious blessings of the gospel of the free grace of God. We do pray that thou wouldst remember those bound hand and foot by Satan, snared by the cords of their sins, held and down, those knowing their besetting sins, those who are wondering where the scene will end. Lord, remember each groaning burdened soul. Lord, do command that release and that setting free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And O Lord, do thou then to this end bless the ministry of thy word. We pray for help this evening. Do touch our lips with the live coal from off the heavenly altar. May, Lord, we be sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and that thou dost speak to the people here. O Lord, do magnify thy great and thy holy name. Lord, thou art worthy to be praised. Thou art good to all. Thy tender mercies are over all thy works. And thy precious name of Jesus is given thee, for he shall save his people from their sins. O magnify thy name, and make it as a strong tower this evening, that the righteous run into it and is safe, and to shelter beneath thy pardoning blood. O Lord, help then to give thy blessing, to command thy word to the promised end, it shall not return unto thee void. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. 897.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayer for attention to the book of Exodus, the portion that we read in chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, and I'll read for our text verse 9, but really I shall be speaking based on from verse 6 to verse 9. But the beginning of verse 9 really embraces the verses that go before. So we'll read verse 9 for our text. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Some 80 years before this time, the Lord had heard and seen of the groaning of the children of Israel in Egypt, and he had caused that Moses should be born. Moses born in a time of persecution, a time when the lives of the young children, the males, were being threatened. It seemed very remarkable that each time, like with the case of Moses and with our Lord Jesus Christ, born in such a time that was so dangerous, or with such a king and a situation that their lives were so threatened and so wonderfully preserved. We often think, dear friend, if the Lord's going to be in a matter, that then if the Lord is going to send deliverance, and in the time of Moses, then he'd raise up a Pharaoh that wouldn't be persecuting, that he'd be born in a time that there wouldn't be the threats, and the time with our Lord Jesus Christ as well. Why in such a dangerous time, such unconducive surroundings? May we never be discouraged that it is the time for the Lord's blessing by looking around and think everything is so against it, so foreign, so fighting against it. It cannot be now. That is not how the Lord has done it in the Word of God. Often he sends deliverance, and it is remarkable how it is brought about and the preservation that preserves and makes sure that that does accomplish what the Lord has determined. Where the children of Israel had the Lord appear for them, Moses trained up 40 years in Pharaoh's court and then 40 years in the wilderness, and then the Lord sends him unto them. And no doubt all of those years, their bondage, their slavery, their working for Pharaoh. And we read of Moses' backwardness in going, but the Lord sent him, the Lord gave him the word that he was to speak, and to speak to Aaron, and Aaron to the people. He gave him also those signs that he was to work before the people so that they would believe that the Lord had truly sent him. And we read at the end of chapter 4 how that when Moses and Aaron, they gathered together the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Must have been a sacred time, a time of real expectation of the Lord's deliverance and what the Lord would do for them at that time. And they rightly, immediately worshipped and gave thanks. We have a real reminder in this passage that we are to be instant in thanksgiving, that we are not to think, well, we will wait and we will see whether there will be deliverance. We will wait and see if there is the outcome of what is promised here before we give thanks. is a good thing. Where there is a believing, where there is seeing that this truly is the Lord's appearing, that we give thanks for that. Because very soon after this, they were in no position to give thanks. And in the word of our text, they're not even in a position, though they may hear with the outward ear, to hearken unto what has been said unto them. But it was not wrong to give thanks when they did. But their expectation was raised up, and at the time of our text, it has seemed to be absolutely dashed to pieces. Is there one here like that? You've been able to give thanks, but since that time, your expectations that were raised up at that time of thanksgiving have now been brought down so low that you are in your own feelings even worse now than what you were before. The children of Israel, with their bondage before, it was not so intense or bad that they wouldn't hearken unto Moses and Aaron. They did. And they believed. But now in our text, after Pharaoh had made their task even harder, where they had been slow, so worked harder and their straw taken away and they're made to bring all of the ingredients and still not diminish aught of the bricks, then as they groaned under that further increasing of burdens, all of their expectation taken away. And whatever words Moses said, whatever words Aaron would convey to them, they couldn't hearken unto it by reason of what they were going through, by reason of their sorrows, by reason of the burdens, by reason of that anguish of spirit, and because of this cruel bondage. What a difference, what a change had taken place. Has that change happened to one here? You say, once I was able, I could come into the house of God and I could listen, and I could listen for my soul and hope for my soul. And there was a time that I felt such a blessing under the word that I gave thanks for that occasion. And I've even told others that I heard well under that minister and under that ministry. But now I'm worse positioned than I was before. And my sins are even more stronger. And in providence things have worked out even harder and worse and worse. And I cannot see how this is working out what I gave thanks for. Cannot see how this is a blessing at all. And when you come into the Lord's house, your mind is so full of these things and so full of troubles and so full of questionings and so full of unbelief. Whatever the minister says, whatever is conveyed to you, you hear it, but you cannot receive it. You cannot hearken to it. You say, I can't believe that anymore. That cannot be the word of God to me. I cannot hope in that. I cannot look for the answer from the Lord in that because of what you're going through. And this is with the children of Israel. Moses speaks to them. Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearken not unto Moses, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Now we know that in the word, one of the great blessings that God says he does for his people is to open their ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Mine ear hath he opened. And we know too that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And yet here is a people that is not hearkening. And you may be feeling as walking this same path, how can I ever receive a blessing? How will ever the Lord perform and appear for me when I cannot believe, I cannot receive, I cannot hearken unto this word? And however much you might charge yourself that you should hear, the things you labour under and burden under, they are real. With the children of Israel here, it was very, very real. And you know the following account, it wasn't going to get any easier or any better, was it? It's going to continue on, even more labour, even more sorrow, before there was to be a deliverance. We read this account, we read the account in Deuteronomy, because there we see that they did have deliverance. They were not only brought out of Egypt, they were not only brought to be with the Lord and to be taught of the Lord and his people, but they were brought into the promised land. And all that the Lord said, and all in the verses that are before us here, it all came to pass. So in spite, not because of, in spite of their ear being closed and that they could not hearken, the Lord still did all that he had said to them that he would do. There's many times in the Word of God that we read of those things where there is a blessing, not because of, but in spite of. You think of the case of Jacob, how that he deceived his father and stole the blessing. That was already told before they were born, that the elder shall serve the younger. And Jacob was a supplanter, and he lied, he deceived his father, but God honoured that blessing, and the promise was to him, and the Lord was with him. And then my stumblers, what does the Lord reward? That kind of behaviour? Does he say that that is right to do, and therefore the blessing? No. Jacob was blessed, he was promised that before they were born. And Jacob was blessed in spite of his deceivings and the path that he took. He deceived his father once. Laban deceived him 10 times, and later his sons deceived him in the matter of Joseph. We reap what we sow. Never take license because of what the saints of old transgress, they reap what they sowed. You might also think in the case of Rahab, how was it that she lied as to where the spies were and to which way they went out? Because we are told that it was by faith in Hebrews 11 that she received the spies and sent them out another way. By faith she knew that the Lord had given the Israelites the land, that they had been promised that land, and she acted with that knowledge and with that belief. So does that make then, we look upon that, does the Lord then honour lying? Do we have there a precedent that we should lie and deceive and say that which is not right? No, not at all. We're very clearly told it's not right to bear false witness. Rahab was blessed in spite of her lies and because of her faith in what the Lord would do for Israel and his people and what he was. She, of course, was in the line unto Christ. And so there's a principle here as well, how the Lord blesses in spite of. And so when we come to this word, I don't want anything that I say tonight to take away from the great blessing of having a hearing ear and having that ear opened, whether through providence, and usually, quite often preach in this way and draw your attention that things that happen in providence affect how we hear in the house of God. They prepare us to receive the word and cause that we hear it in a different way that we would otherwise have done. We can come in and out of the house of God many years But then the Lord visit with affliction, whether for us or for our family, or something happens in providence and it changes how we hear, and it makes the need of our soul more important and more urgent. But here we have almost the opposite that has happened. Here we have one that which has happened in providence and that which has happened in their lives has caused such anguish and such sorrow that their ear is closed to it and they cannot receive it. And yet still the Lord blessed them, and still he performed the word that he had said unto them. Though they couldn't receive it, they were to remember it, they were to know it was said, and later on they were to realize that the Lord had brought it about, even though they had shut it out, as it were, impossible, could not possibly be so. That which is impossible with man is not impossible with God. There is a reason why the Lord at times speaks to his people that which they cannot receive, but they will remember, and remember they couldn't receive it, that when the Lord has performed it in spite of themselves, then they shall give that honour and glory to the Lord. The many things that the Lord spoke to his disciples, he said, "Ye cannot, I have many things to say unto you, ye cannot bear them now." He did speak to them concerning his death, and even that. Even Peter, he said, "Be that not unto thee, Lord." And he resisted him in it, couldn't receive what was being said. But here we have then a word that Moses has spoken so unto the children of Israel, a word that was brought to pass, and they hearkened not unto Moses, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. I want to set before you this evening the word that Moses set before them that they couldn't hearken unto, that they couldn't receive because of what they were going through, and yet the word that the Lord did bring about. The word that is here is just as applicable unto us as was unto them. That which was written, aforetime written for our learning, that we through comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It is Israel was a typical people. They're in bondage. We all are in bondage under sin. We are all held captive under Satan's chains. And it's not until there is a movement for deliverance and to set free that we find out that really we are being held captives. If someone was being held under house arrest, perhaps as the Apostle Paul was in Rome, and while they were in that house, they thought they'd got quite freedom, they could walk to and fro in the house, they could do what they like, but as soon as they stepped outside that door, or tried to, then they'd realise, well, actually they were in captivity and they did not have liberty and they could not do what they want. And it is only when the commandment comes that sin revives and that we die. As the apostle proved it so, that sin is stirred up and we realise what captivity we are due to our sins, how fast we are held, and it is by reason of the commandment coming that is so stirred up within. It was not until Moses started to go to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," that then Pharaoh said, "No, they are not going." And each sign and each wonder that was wrought reinforced more and more, they are not going. They do not have liberty. They cannot set themselves free. No signs, no wonders, no miracles. They are not to be set free. And so we see also how that when Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, the Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go. Now here is the Israelites who are spoken to in the name of the Lord, and by reason of their bondage, their anguish, they cannot hear the words of the Lord. Well, I said it before you in 4 points, as in the verses from verse 6 through to verse 8. And the first thing I want to set before you is that the Lord gave this charge to Moses. He said, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel." And so Moses, he comes, and what he is speaking to them is at the command of the Lord. The Lord has given him what to speak. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. There is all of the authority in this. Was not Moses, was not Aaron, it was the Lord's word. And may we remember that as we gather together in the house of God. The apostle gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians, that they received the word as the word of God and not as the word of man. And it is then that each of the Lord's servants speak not in their own name, but as ambassadors for Christ. Well, the first thing that Moses is charged to speak and to say and to reinforce before them is, in the name of the Lord, "I am the Lord." Pharaoh has said, "Who is the Lord?" The word to the children of Israel from the Lord is, "I am the Lord." How we need to be reminded of that. If the children of Israel were in the midst of the Egyptians, and the Egyptian leader and the Egyptians are saying, "Who is the Lord?" How much more is that like we are today? Who is the Lord? Who is he that we should serve? Who is the God of heaven, and who is the creator of the earth? And whether we realize it or not, that insinuous unbelief and that doubt and that limiting of the Lord, it comes right into us. And it deadens us, it hardens us, and we need constantly reminding of who the Lord is. The Lord is set before us here as Jehovah, as he that is the God of salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God that is the deliverer of his people, the Saviour of his people. And the word that is to be brought to the people here is encapsulated in that word, "I am the Lord." If you look at verse 6, it is, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." And then when you come to verse 8, when the Lord has finished speaking, he says, "I am the Lord," is the very last words that he speaks. And so the message is held within these words, "I am the Lord" at the first, "I am the Lord" at the last. And there is the Lord's message. There is the strength and the power. Wherever the word of a king is, there is power. Is anything too hard for the Lord? All the promises of God are yea and amen in him. That is in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are all fulfilled in him. And that is why we pray for Christ's sake and in his dear name, and put him in remembrance of that which he has said and that which he has promised. And what a reminder here. Is it in the Egyptians? They are against the children of Israel. They're not going to let them go. Is the power of the word in the children of Israel? They're not even hearkening to the word. It cannot be relied upon them to bring it about, or to respond to it, or to work in some way to bring it about. It rests on the Lord and the Lord's work. If you and I are brought to be a prepared people to show forth the praises of the Lord, we we must be brought to that. This is the Lord's work, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Brought into that, that this is the Lord's doing. To marvel at what the Lord has done. The Lord promised Abraham to Sarah that they should have a child and have one in their old age. And when the angel came, the Lord came to Abraham in the tent, then Sarah laughed in the tent door. Impossible. Could not possibly come to pass. And yet it did. In spite of her unbelief, in spite of her denying, it did. Why? Because the Lord had promised it. And there is the strength of the answers to prayer, of all the promises and blessings for the people of God. It flows from the high decree of heaven. It flows from the covenant of God. It flows from the purposes of God for that poor sinner. Providence, it unfolds the book and makes his counsel shine. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. It is the unfolding of that purpose that the Lord has to his people. And this had been foretold to Abraham. They shall accomplish those four generations in Egypt, and then will I bring them out by a strong hand. All that had been said was to be fulfilled and to be done. And so it rests not upon us, not even upon our hearing, not upon, as it were, our responding unto it, but what the Lord is to perform and the Lord to do. And so here then we have three specific things that are in this message, and every one of them begins with I will. It begins in the work of the Lord. Now leave it to your leisure to look through into Ezekiel 36, where again you read again and again where the Lord says, I do it not for your sakes, be it known unto you, O Israel, but for my great name's sake. And again you read, I will take away the stony heart, give a heart of flesh, cleanse you, right the way through that. What the Lord will do, that is to be the refuge of his saints, dear friends. That is to be your hope and mine as to what the Lord will do. And our eyes are to be upon him. That's where it was with Jehoshaphat. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And may that be so with you, dear friends, here this evening, that your eyes be up upon the Lord. It might be for a loved one, you know. You might be praying and seeking and laying before a loved one, and you think, well, for the Lord to bless them, they don't seem to be hearing, they don't seem to be paying attention. There doesn't seem to be any hope from that way. But where the hope is, where the Lord says, I will do it, I will perform it. And so instead of our eyes looking upon what we're seeing and seeing the person, our eyes are upon the promise and eyes upon the finished work of Christ and what he has spoken even unto our own souls. Well, the first thing that we read is in verse 6, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. The very thing that was their trial and the cause of their anguish and the cause of their sorrow, this is what the Lord addresses first. And that he'll bring them out from under this. He rid them out of this bondage. All that they were being burdened with at this time, the Lord says, I'll bring you out from that. Now we know that the Lord did it in his own time and the Lord's own way. But the Lord did it. Our Lord said, your time is always ready, but my time is not yet. And there is a time to favour Zion, a set time to favour Zion. And we certainly have this set before us with the children of Israel, where sign after sign and judgment after judgment did not result in them being set free. But each time it was that there was no blood shed. It had to point to the Passover, point in time to the precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will bring you out from the burdens. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. If Israel is be redeemed, if brought out of his troubles here, he must be redeemed out of them. That is, set free by the payment of a price, the precious blood of Christ typified in the Passover lamb. And so it is that when the Lord says that he will do this, he will do it in his own way and own time, and performing in the way that he has determined. And though it seems that the time surely would be right now, the children of Israel know how impossible it is, how deep their groanings are. But the Lord says, no, there shall be yet another. There shall be nine signs, nine things wrought, and each time it reinforced, no deliverance, still bondage, still anguish, still not being set free. There is only one way a poor sinner can be relieved from the burden of sin, and that is through the cross of Christ, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way that fulfills the demand that where the Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It is, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And it must be so. And I say to each here that knows the working of sin in your members, and the bondage to sin, and the evil of the heart, that the only way of setting free is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood at Calvary. To be brought to look there with the children of Israel, it was the Lord that brought them to the Passover. It was the Lord that brought them to shelter beneath the precious blood that was typified there as the blood of Christ. You know, I thought as we sung the hymn that you've just sung, and in verse 2, with the whole verse, how hymn it speaks of those afflicted souls, give ear. It could be said to these Israelites here, afflicted souls, give ear. But it goes on in verse 2, sin is loathsome to thy heart, and shows a most ill-favoured face. If guilt affords thee fearful smart, it flows from Jesus' love and grace. I thought as we sung that, how many a poor sinner will think, if I am in that verse, then surely I am resisting and fleeing from sin, and I'm not actually walking in these ways of sin. I'm not saying that a soul is sinning that grace might abound, but when sin is loathsome to our heart, it's not seeing it afar off. It's actually feeling it working within, and you come to bed at night and you view the day, and you view as a transgressor, fallen in sin, shapen in iniquity, and these things are actually committed. Sin is a very real thing. And when it is loathsome, when it shows an ill-favoured face, sometimes we might reason and say, well, if sin really shows an ill-favoured face, why do I not have anything to do with it at all? Why can't I just completely blot it out? That if I really hated sin, I would not commit sin. The apostle says, the evil that I would not, that I do. The good that I would, I do not. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And this sense is what the children of Israel had here under their burdens, that though very real, and they could not free themselves, and they could not get themselves out of this. Now, we sometimes have an idea that if we are the people of God, that we've got such a sanctified sense of sin, or can say that we are sinners without feeling that the horribleness of it, the vileness, the loathsomeness of it, that actually our hearts are unclean, they cast up that uncleanness. The tithe that is here is a very real tithe. The children of Israel couldn't free themselves from their bondage. And you and I, we cannot free ourselves from the bondage of sin. The apostle says, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. It rises up as a fountain of uncleanness, and we prove that we are fallen and lost and ruined in the fall. Where the Lord's promise, the Lord's word to the children of Israel was concerning these very burdens. And I'd say to any burdened soul here, you might say, you do not know my heart. You do not know how many years I have tried and laboured in vain. You do not know what vileness, what evilness. You know, if I was to say to you even a little bit of what goes in my heart, you would all get up and you'd all run out the chapel. You wouldn't stay here. The evil of the heart is horrible to look at in your own soul. You wonder how it can ever stand before God. And we cannot accept the precious blood of Christ is our covering and is our hiding place. And it is the Lord then that brings that about. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, you are under grace. And it's the Lord that brings out from under that slavish burden, and so that it is then the soul is set free. It's a beautiful word. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And those times that we have of peace and freedom from the working of sin are very precious. Those are sweet times. No, sweet the moments rich in blessing which before the cross I spend. And when it is to look upon him whom we have pierced. And the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. So it is then that the burden of sin, I will bring you out from under the burden. And really in the way for the people of God and the children of Israel were to see it in the Passover, that burden is transferred to another, and another carries it. And we see our Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, bowed down, sweating great drops of blood, because of the weight of sin laid upon him. Thou hast laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. It is the Lord who has said that he himself shall bear our sins and bear our iniquities. He shall bear those sins in his own body upon the tree. And it is in that way that the psalmist said, let thy hand be upon the man at thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. And Israel was to be brought to that, where they were to see the blood shed, and they were to shelter beneath that, and that was to set them free. And so this is what the Lord has said that he will do. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. We know from the history and of what they went through, the Lord performed this in his own time and his own way. May Your eyes, each burdened soul, each soul groaning under sin, be upon the Lord to deliver you and to set you free from those burdens. But there is a second word that is set before them here, again in verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people. The Lord's salvation is not a half salvation. He doesn't deliver his people from the burden of sin and then leave them. He brings them unto himself. There's either one or the other, if it is a real work of grace, saved from sin and unto Christ. It is not a refining of the old nature. It is a very distinct separation. The children of Israel here were separated from Egypt, brought into the wilderness to serve the Lord. They could not serve the Lord in Egypt. They could not serve the Lord under their burdens. They had to be brought into the wilderness, and there the Lord would teach them and instruct them. And again we have this word coming out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And that is what it is here. I will take you for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And so later on in the wilderness, it is, let us therefore go out unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. It is the work of the Lord in delivering his people from their sin to form a people for his praise. And it is that there should not be, as it were, a void. Our Lord speaks of the one of whom that he went out of whom the sins are cast out or devils cast out. He comes back and he finds his house swept and garnished, and he takes unto himself seven other spirits worse than himself. The latter end of that man is worse than the beginning. You know, if we could be such a one that could in their own eyes cleanse themselves from their sin and be a holy person and not be burdened or troubled by their sin, what a solemn thing to be not having a need of the Lord, not having a need of a Saviour, not having a need of a Redeemer, but be righteous in our own eyes. This was the case that the Apostle saw that his own people were in when he wrote to them in 10th of Romans, that they were ignorant of God's righteousness and went about to establish their own righteousness. And it is that the Lord will bring his people to cast themselves upon him, to be his people, his righteousness to be theirs, and it is that his strength is to be theirs. The people of God here, when they were brought out from Egypt, they were redeemed unto the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, he says, ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. And everyone that is truly redeemed from their sin is purchased by the precious blood of Christ. They are not their own, they are the Lord's. Their life is the Lord's. And so it is that they live upon him and they are taught of him. And so this is what the Lord also has said that I will do. I will take you to me for a people. And so then we come to the third word in verse 8. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And of course here then is a reference to promises already made. And what he is doing to the people here is because of promises already made. Have you ever traced the blessings or promises given to you to that which the Lord made? And in the word of God, that he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. and you discern the Lord's blessing to our souls, and that those promises given to the first apostles and ministers of the gospel, that it is still applying unto us now, still in the day of grace, still in the day of blessing. Really, of course, the land of Canaan was to be a type of heaven in this. Those that the Lord calls and sanctifies and brings to himself are prepared people for a prepared place. The Lord won't do it by halves. The children of Israel in the wilderness, you know, they charged the Lord and they charged Moses, and they said that they'd been brought out into the wilderness to perish in the wilderness. But this word didn't leave them in the wilderness. It brought them to the promised land. If there's one of you here troubled on that account too, the Lord has not made you to know your sin, to groan under them, to be delivered out from that, and to be brought into his school and under his banner to leave you to perish in this wilderness. The Lord will bring you safely home and safely into the land of Canaan. Thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to try thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst serve the Lord or no. What a sad tale the children of Israel had to tell. How many murmurings, how many rebellions, how many things in our lives must we with shame of face confess? But the faithfulness of the Lord, that is what has brought us from darkness to light. That is what has brought us under his banner. And that will be what brings us safely home at last. Not by works that we have done, not by our own works, but by the holding fast to the Lord. The yea and amen, the promises of the Lord. That is to be the stay of the people of God. I will bring you in. Beautiful word in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will bring you in unto the land. Not expect you to go in yourself. I will bring you in. And we read how the Lord brought them wonderfully through the river of Jordan, and how that they were to see the ark go before them, a beautiful type of Christ, go into Jordan before them, to see Christ go into death and to suffer and to rise from the dead. But with the children of Israel, as they went into the promised land, they all filed past that ark. From seeing it afar off, they were brought to pass by it as the priest stood with the ark in the midst of Jordan until all of the children of Israel passed over. It's a beautiful time. The Lord will not be not in the midst of death for his people when they pass through it. He will be in the midst of it as that ark typified, and he will bring you in. Not because of your hearing or your prayers or anything but the promise of the Lord, the undertaking of the Lord for his people. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. The Lord's dear people shall be with him where he is. And that is to be their desire. It's upon his promises that they have rested, and the promises that center in Christ, and their eyes are to be upon him constantly. Is that to be a reminder for some here? That your eyes are to be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be upon his word and upon his promise. not on your own, not on your own strength. I do pray the Lord will open ears and will cause you to hear, and that faith will be raised up. But this word, it so shows us where that strength is, in the Lord and not of ourselves. We have truly this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I hope some of you are able to look back and look back onto these verses, or at least the first two, what the Lord will do, and realize that the Lord has done that for you, that he has performed it. And may you be able to give him the honor and the glory due to his name. And may you be strengthened in faith to know that he which hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. Give me daily cause to raise fresh Ebenezers to his praise. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pont next Tuesday. Let us close with hymn 332. Now let the feeble all be strong and make Jehovah's arm their song. His shield is spread o'er every saint, and thus supported who shall faint? 332.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.